6:37, and it is Monday, and it is balmy. We're up into the 80s today. It's going to cool off the next several days. But one thing that that just developed actually today, we now have some reports coming back from that horrific train accident in Philadelphia, the one that that killed eight, injured several hundred, really a horrible crash. And now a report this afternoon saying that it was excessive speed coupled with the force of braking that led to the derailment. Let's talk to Jim Hall. He's a former National Transportation Safety Board chairman. That's the National Transportation Safety Board chairman himself. Now he runs Hall & Associates. Jim, great to have you on the program.
Yeah, glad to be with you.
Yeah, chairman of the NTSB. How long were you doing that?
I was in that position for 7 years during the Clinton administration.
Gotcha. What was one of the bigger accidents you dealt with then, in that position?
Oh, TWA 800, U.S. Air 427, a number of others.
Gotcha. Any train derailments or massive accidents? Or?
Oh, yeah. We had Amtrak accident, a rail accident in Silver Spring that took a number of lives that resulted in significant changes in the emergency egress from rail cars.
The emergency egress for rail, what does that mean?
Well, at that point in time, in order to evacuate the car, you had to have a coin to open the door, which doesn't make very good sense then, didn't make good sense today.
Okay.
And now the windows push out, the cars, the doors can be pushed open automatically.
So people were getting trapped in the trains? Is that what was happening?
Yeah, in this case, a number of young people were trapped in the train and burned to death.
Wow, okay. Now, when you see this massive derailment, is this one of the biggest train accidents we've ever had?
Well, it's certainly up there. And, considering the fact that we have the technology of positive train control that is installed on many places on the Eastern rail corridor and was required to be installed on this line,
mm-hmm.
Makes the tragedy even worse.
Now, tell me
that
this,
along with Congress putting a limit on liability recoveries from events like this.
Yeah, the $200 million. But the train, first of all, the train was going 106 miles per hour. Is there any time a train should be going that fast?
Well, it's not certainly into this curve.
Right. But on a straightaway, on a straightaway, does a train go about that speed if there's no curve?
Yes, it can go up to 110, 120 miles an hour.
That's about the max. So we're getting close to the max speed. Is that about as fast as a train can be pushed to? Are there any kind of limits to how fast a conductor can?
Well, in the United States, obviously, in Europe and in Far East where there's high-speed rail, it can go several hundred miles an hour.
When you hear this engineer, he says he has no recollection of the accident. What is your gut feeling when you see what happened, you know there was a curve there, and you hear that speed? What do you think may have occurred?
Well, I don't know. That's the purpose of the investigation, and I wouldn't want to speculate, but had we had cameras facing inward to the cab, as has been recommended by the NTSB after several tragedies like this,
mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be asking those questions. We'd know not only what the train did, but also what the operator did.
So are you saying Amtrak is defying that or trying to avoid that? Or?
Well, unfortunately, the regulators have not implemented the recommendations made by the NTSB for cameras in these rail cockpits on passenger trains.
What's the resistance? It seems like a pretty minimal thing to do.
You'll have to ask the regulators. I think they're unfortunately kowtowing to some of the labor union concerns, but the safety of the passengers should be the first thing in the minds of everybody, the government regulators, the labor unions, and everyone associated with operating transportation equipment.
Yeah, I mean, this essentially is could be a plane full of people is what we're talking about here. The actual... Well, so when you're an engineer, then are you alone in that cab in the front there?
Yes, in most cases you are.
So there's no one,
The throttle's a little different usually on those trains because the throttle, instead of pushing it forward, you pull it back to gain speed.
Okay.
And most of those trains also have dead man switches that'll automatically brake them if there's not any type of activity by the engineer.
Oh, so the engineer has to actively be pulling to make the train move?
Yes.
Okay, so essentially if the engineer passes out, right, the train stops.
Well, after a period of time, there is a delay on that that would account in this situation for the acceleration of the train.
Now, are the trains not sophisticated enough, computerized enough to anticipate the rail line as it comes and kind of vary and kind of autopilot itself to a range of speed?
Well, there's a system called positive train control, which is a GPS system, which is in a lot of the Eastern Corridor, rail corridor.
Mm-hmm.
It was not in this specific piece of track, and it would have prevented it. It overcomes human error regardless of what the human error is and decelerates the train. It would have known the curve was coming. It would have decelerated the train and prevented the accident.
Okay. And this one train, I mean, do we know, is it like rare to have a train that doesn't have this this GPS system in it?
Well, it's rare because we unfortunately have failed to invest in our infrastructure in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And our roads, our bridges, our highways are putting Americans at risk every day,
right,
because we don't have the technology that is enjoyed in other parts of the world.
Because we had another, I'm trying to think, the previous train accident in New York, that was the engineer's error also, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
What's been alleged, yes.
Is that usually, from what you've seen, is that usually where the problem is, the engineer making a mistake?
Well, in most cases, most major transportation accidents are caused by human error.
Uh-huh.
And where we have technology in place that can overcome human error or correct human error, we're able to prevent these tragedies in all forms of transportation.
To keep them from happening. So, okay, when you hear that they believe the train was going that fast, do you believe that to be the case, or is there going to be an argument over whether it was in fact going 106 into that curve?
No, I think there's both visual and black box evidence of the speed of the train.
And so, if the engineer can't remember anything, he says he cannot recall, where's that going to leave the investigation then?
Well, unfortunately, it leaves it at this point that they're going to have to try to put together all the various pieces of information they can assemble to try and determine exactly what occurred.
Do you think he's going to face charges over this? Or?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what the investigation is going to reveal.
Right. So even if we won't have him saying, look, this is what I did, they'll say, look, the evidence shows that he was manually operating. Right, because he had to manually operate the train. It wouldn't have just taken off on its own, would it?
Well, you know, without the camera evidence,
we
don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's Jim Hall, former NTSB chairman, now runs Hall & Associates. Jim, thank you for your insight on this issue.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the time to visit with you.
Yep, thanks a lot.